So then, yeah, I should be a lot more than 20.
So when were you born?
27.
What's your date? What's your birthday?
November 7th.
November 7th, 1927. And you were born in Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you live there?
Until I went to the military. Family, everybody in the family but me, is the only, I'm the only one left. I mean, as far as that time. Right.
Everyone's so clear.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're still alive.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're still there.
What branch of the military were you in?
Army. In the Army.
When did you serve? Right after
World War II. Yeah, right after World War II.
How long were you in the service?
10 and a half, 11 years. Old brother was caught up with.
What type of discharge did you have?
I had three different discharges. I had three honorable and one different.
How'd that happen?
How that happened? You use drugs, you're gonna get busted. That's how that happened.
They discharge you, take you back in, and
No, that was all. It was an honorable period. I didn't get caught. I had done quite well as far as being military, you know. I got to be exposed to being a veteran.
How did you get introduced to,
In the service. Some of your partners, you know, bring some drugs along, you know. See how the country's on. A lot of countries, you can buy drugs in any corner. They got a little, like I said, not a corner dispensary, but like the pharmaceutical just for distribution. It's like here. Vitamins and minerals, so it fits right in the same category. You find a whole bunch of different kinds of drugs. The king that gets killed, you have to take a few more drugs. So the military, to top it off, they had a list of drugs that not touch, so to speak.
So it tells you what to touch.
Tell you what to go get. So. That role too. So, you know, it's kind of one of those, I would say, unsuspecting. I say, become a dope thing, you know, become hooked. You don't know what hooked is until you're hooked. The only reason you know you're hooked in is because there's none available at the time you're crying out like. And some of your partners say, every day, what's wrong? If not, you got to be sick for 4 or 5 days or whatever. Then you learn the ropes fairly fast. You know what to do, what not to do.
So who is or was in your family? You mentioned your mother was born in Durham. And
yeah, my mother was born in Durham. Yeah. All of her family was still alive, still living around Durham.
Say, Bob, you're not supposed to add that.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of a subtle reminder. You know.
Might want to think about that.
Not that I'm going to change my mind now. I'll just, put it on the list of things to think about.
Right. Mm-hmm. So your mom was from Durham, North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
It was not a very tight family, you might say. Because, you know, once she left home, she said she left home.
Yeah.
There was very little communication, you know. She had one sister she was, you know, she would stay in touch with. She didn't know aunties and uncles and cousins and
things like that.
The old man left early, you know. Mm-hmm. He was a couple, 2 years old or so.
Right. What did you do before you retired?
I was a mechanic. Yeah. I worked for Mercy Pictures, Paramount Pictures.
Nice. Thank you.
If I can get a county.
So who was in your house when you were growing up?
Well, I had three half brothers. That's my real brother. As I say, we weren't very close, you know. Every time we were close, it was fighting.
I understand that.
Yeah, that's when we were close. The rest of the time, we weren't very close.
Did your brother or your half-brothers end up with the disease of addiction?
The one is still alive. Well, the other one didn't. His addiction was money.
Right, right.
I had a brother with his addiction was money.
Yeah.
Worked two or three jobs. He worked one place, Midland Steel, for 41 years.
Wow.
Only to find out he was going to retire. On his exam, he found out he was riddled with cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was funny. Short lived, but he was about 5 or 6 years after he retired.
Really? That's sad.
Yeah, it was, you know, in so many ways. But he did, you know, he took care of family, you know, married, and all that. His kids. But this kind of, you say, you know, the profile of the person, you know, he's kind of bad. He was a family man, but not a family man. About making money, you know, making money to take care of
it. It was the same with my grandfather, actually. My grandfather had 7 brothers, and 3 of them died of active alcoholism, and the other 4 put their energies into doing what you were talking about, making money. They're obsessive compulsive behavior. Another area.
Yeah,
you know,
never night to make some money.
Yeah.
But you go to that job every morning.
Yeah, that was my brother.
Yeah.
40 years ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he already had a hustle. He was working out the back of the car, buying hot merchandise. Doing all of that.
So how old were you when you left Cleveland? You said you grew up in Cleveland?
Yeah, I was 17.
Mm-hmm. And then you did the military thing.
Yeah, the military. Wanted to just go back and visit and say hi and good back.
Yeah, I hear you. Hi and bye. I got you.
It's, you know, it's kind of, you know, kind of, you get a chance to observe your family kind of at a distance in a way. See the ins and outs of the dynamics of family and people getting along, not getting along, the difficulties with their own children and so forth. We still got a matriarchal family now.
Mm-hmm.
Women run. Mothers, grandmothers, all of them, number of women. And it's still, to this day, it's still women run their own family.
Yeah.
They don't even get married. They take the name as it is and use that as a surname.
Mm-hmm.
All marriages. None of them married. 2 or 3 kids, none of them married.
So your mother never married?
No, she married. Because, Barrett. My brother and I were original Barretts, so to speak. But, she went with, you know, the half brother and I. She was with they went in 30 some years. So, I guess there was a bind or a tie or something. express it.
Right, right.
Was your brother older or younger?
Yeah, that's kind of a strange position. If you watch the families unfold, even today, I don't know what that's all about. I said none of them want to get married. I don't know if they didn't want to or just didn't. Three or four kids.
Did you ever have any children?
I have a daughter. It's a long story. Best I can say it's a long story.
Okay.
Yeah. It's long only in terms of saying that one is used as probably escape from living. Take you back to where your home base was.
Right.
Your home base was in your parents. So, after years, I was I ended up back in Japan, trying to retrace his steps and all the other good stuff that we did.
Yeah.
Trying to put things together.
Did you ever have any luck?
We were in constant contact. We were involved in terms of trying to get that. Yeah. Actually, the one reason I went back to Japan was I was getting married. You had to get a paper together.
Yeah.
And the thing called drug addiction caught up with it.
Funny how that happened.
Funny, yeah.
I tell you.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I didn't get caught up. CID and OSI and all the people, they get involved. walk up on you. You
understand. How long were you and Alma married?
We were married almost about 12, 13 years. We were together almost 12 years. We had a marriage. Marriage of convenience.
Right.
But I mean, it was just one of these here things, our lives evolve into certain things, things like getting married. I mean, every day I was going to get married. But she was willing to go the route,
Did you ever remarry anyone else?
No.
Fellowship of Internet?
Yeah.
It must be a pretty, I can't even relate. We were very blessed with the opportunity to go to the World Convention this year, and it had been just about 20 years since I went to the last one in Florida. So to see the difference in 20 years was just overwhelming. It must be incredibly overwhelming for you to see the growth in the amount of years you've been around.
But that's, kind of the magic of things, how things happen. We had no expertise yet.
No.
But we done a little everything.
Right. Right.
Well, I I mean, it really is. It's like you say, you guys weren't writers. I mean, it's amazing. You get people off the street, clean them up, and put them together. I mean, most of the folks that get in touch with going to area service have never in their lives been in any type of structure or like that. Yeah, they don't know. I mean, Robin's Rules of Order, what's that? And I didn't, you know. You've never had any time. I mean, there
was the first few days.
Yeah. but
you know, I want to say that I had it down.
Yeah, right.
Had the game down.
But what's amazing is how we adapt, you know. And actually, I think you're doing pretty well.
Like, yeah, we're good at mimicking. Yeah. We can watch a little bit, you know, pick up things quick. You know, I was always, you know, watching others how they done things, you know, how to do that. In the military, I was, you know, I've done, you know, I even was kind of noted for, you want something, you want to get something, call by. So even in the military, I was like the regimental scrounger. What you need? Need a generator? Do what it took to get those things. And they give me the necessary stuff to get it. A truck, a couple of men. So this is what we need, or this is what we want. I go out and get it. So that's, you know, that's kind of like what I was capable of, you know, originally. So. It's, you know, it's kind of strange, you know, it's not strange, I guess. It's kind of like MASH. MASH in a way. You know,
yeah.
They had a couple of people there that said knew how to get on the telephone.
Yep.
Call certain people, knew which network to go to, know how to do some swap and match.
The trade.
The trade off, yeah. So, you know, what's going on?
Do you sponsor anybody?
You know, I haven't talked to nobody that knew for a long time. That
didn't. Well, I mean, it's kind of the same with me. The person that has I think Shiloh's. No, Doug's got 3 years. I just haven't sponsored anybody new in a long time myself.
Yeah, it's just a matter of sometimes it's called need. Sometimes there's people too need.
Yeah.
And do you have the time to go to a needy person that you have to? Be mama, papa.
Chris, would you take a picture? With that? Thank you.
New era of cameras.
Yeah, in the day. I know.
Watching all this technology happen.
Well, I'm not trying to keep up with it.
I hear you gave up.
Fact is, I said I was one for years. Usually two cameras with me at all times. A still and a regular 35
mm. Is that right?
Yeah, I got box.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet you do.
They asked me about, you got pictures on that? You will have to be looking for anything.
So did you take pictures of like the, those literature committees where we're...
Yeah, I took pictures of everything.
Everything, okay.
It's wonderful.
I just would, it's just been in this new age and I didn't go get one of the cameras.
Well, I understand. I do.
The fact is, I reduced my camera down to a little Sony iPhone. It's not even digital.
Really?
No.
Okay.
But it's the same size.
Mm-hmm.
You stick it in your pocket.
Right. Yeah.
I've lost a couple of cameras in places. Set them down and walk away and turn around and it's gone. Usually in foreign countries and places like that. Sit down and walk out the door and get them out. Turn around.
Gone. Have you spoke pretty much around the world? Are you asked to speak?
Yeah.
I'm just real curious. I mean,
we're amazed.
Well, I hear you.
Where have they had that, Bob?
Where have you stayed? I mean, around the world, outside the country.
France.
Uh-huh.
England. Sweden.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it really is.
It's a great opportunity.
Australia.
What a great opportunity.
You want to go back.
Australia, you want to go back. You like traveling.
Mm-hmm.
No, not particularly.
No. Different places. Traveling's not all the attractive.
No, it's different. It is definitely different. Now, flying used to be just, I mean, just in my time, I know flying now, what it was years back, is not what it used to be. It's just a bus in the air.
It's always
Airbus.
Nice to go to But, I said, running from plane to train and all these other things, it's okay to go, you know.
Do your duty, so to
speak. Right.
Right.
But it's a lot of work to get there and get back.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to get there and get back.
Well, it really is. I mean, especially coming from West Coast to East Coast, much less flying across the pond.
You got so many selections that the only thing is the difference in expenses.
Do you have any hobbies?
I heard you, I heard your talk from Atlanta at the World Convention on traditions, weapons, rules, or safeguards.
Well, I say, you know, one of the things for 20-some years I was a trustee. We did workshops. So, say your work's cut out for you, you know, subject-wise. A variety of things, what needs to be done to be able to do it.
But it was a talk I really enjoyed. In fact, I got it on my iPod.
That's what I said. How you heard of that one? That would seem insignificant in my condition. Of what interest would that one have been? There's interesting periods of time we went through very often trying to iron out some of the difficulties in terms of the concepts. That was a long, drawn-out period.
I bet.
That we don't like change, but the change we like.
Yes, right. Makes sense.
You're not the one, you know, making these here changes or presenting. Sometimes you present your proposition as to what would be correct or proper or right or whatever. So it's a task that, you know, that has to be done.
Were the concepts just directly adapted from AA?
No, not directly, but I mean, just about all the ideas that was needed came from that.
Right.
We may have changed a little language in certain times that might be more acceptable, you know, as far as that's concerned. Just had to find choice. Don't have to have no nothing about it. Come in and reject it right away. Walk in the room and go, no, I don't want it. You heard what I was going to say. I'm saying it. Yeah. Don't want to hear it.
What do you think are some of the greatest issues facing our fellowship right now?
Yes, you may say it's called one of the things about society and the narcotics anonymous. I could use that as a thing. They seem to be, society's encroaching on little Sag had a lot to do with it because he becomes a good marketable tool of using 12-step programs to do what their job they're supposed to do. I don't like that the idea of making NA meetings kind of responsible. They're not responsible. They feel that demanding to do something that they're not. They shouldn't have to be doing it. They're devoting their time to people that are bust in or demanded to go to those programs. Facilitate the influx of a lot of people. It's very difficult. It's becoming expensive because they're coming costly. And that's just another part of the opportunity. So, what you need to do is be that way. Places like community centers, hospitals, churches, and so forth, they're kind of riding on the coattail of the just for the use of all the and I realize they have we probably the usage where you get the damages from usage. There's upkeep they have to go for. And politicians can't do nothing about the problem they become demanding. Churches so forth they demand that anybody they're renting property to or renting space to make them responsible for. Yes or no, they're helping in some ways instead of leaving some ideas looking at it. Bend a little bit, you know. A little bit. Like taking their job away. Who's doing the work? They're not. All they're doing is writing out the script for you to do. Another one of those areas that you have to work with. I don't know what to do. I'm not tight enough to do whatever
they want. In the LA area, is there a lot of people that are mandated by the courts to come in?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, tons of them. We have it, but the proportions are not that great.
It's much larger.
Exactly.
What's the average size meeting, like people that are there?
There was a recent Supreme Court ruling in San Francisco about a guy who had been court ordered to NA. And he'd been passed away, but they'd ruled that, you know, he shouldn't be mandated to go.
Was this the Supreme Court?
Yep. State Supreme Court, I think.
Okay. State Supreme. Okay.
And there's been a lot more lawsuits like that, people challenging being mandated to 12-step.
To attend 12-step meetings.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't even know that.
Well, yeah, they've had a couple of court cases, especially military personnel.
Right.
Yeah, it is. Back in the 70s, actually, a buddy of mine was out in San Francisco and got so many drunk driving tickets, and he was requested by the courts in San Francisco to attend 3 AA meetings a week, and he had to get it signed, you know. So, yeah. So in the 60s, there were very few NA meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you attend both fellowships?
Seldom.
Seldom?
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know because of, like it was in Raleigh, we had, when I got there, fortunately, there was one meeting a night every week.
Mm-hmm.
The level of recovery was usually only about, an old time it was 3 years, you know. So in the first 3 years of my recovery, I attended both fellowships. And then it came a point where it was like, well, I'm hanging out with everybody in NA, so this is just based on recovery. And but we certainly, I've got 20 years, and Craig is the first person in our area. What time of year did you play?
If I was looking, I was trying to think what time it is.
I don't know.
2-something.
You're welcome.
I don't know.
Yeah, those heavy questions.
Yeah, right.
details.
Departs Greenville. 2:30.
Okay. We've got 2 hours. Yeah.
We've got plenty of time.
We haven't got through,
check in.
Can you take your cup, sir?
Yes, please.
That's all right. You
do. I'm reaching right over you.
You can bring me a cup of that one.
That's okay. There you go, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Luckily, this is a pretty nice and easy airport to get in and out of, I have to say. I love coming in and out of this airport. It's pretty quick.
That's good.
And it's not too much of a hassle there at the security checkpoint. It's pretty easy.
It goes down pretty much when it comes to the science.
Yeah, they do. My mom and I went to Europe right after, very, not too far after 9/11, all that. It was unbelievable. Germany was horrible.
I'm not remembering that.
The airport in Frankfurt, they were literally pulling about one out of every 10 to 15 out. They were actually restricting.
Well,
random.
Yeah, I was at Europe
yeah.
They get rattled.
Because I made the mistake because they pointed at my mother and I thought, you know, don't make that 80-year-old woman go back there. And
didn't make them no difference.
Get through that.
Didn't
I
make
that
them no difference.
He was like, all right, you go then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Well, no,
I didn't like that at all.
But I think I was in France. They get to form a big nest about it.
Yeah, they were not really nice in Germany.
Yeah.
I'm surprised,
actually. What I'm real grateful for is the readings before the meetings, you know, who's an addict, what is the NA program, why are we here? Because I came in, you know, very young into NA, and that was the first thing I could identify with was the literature. I had trouble identifying with other people in the meeting because of the age difference and things like that, but it's really those readings that saved my life in the beginning.
Well, that's one of the reasons why he's talking about the simplicity of the basic text. It's not a hard read. Pretty much in the language in which you use in that kind of setting. So it makes it easier, you know, it's acceptable in terms of ease and acceptance without a lot of dialogue and, you know, I say meaningless or having, knowing not understanding. Because one of the very big difficulties about a lot of our literature is ahead of its time in terms of who they're dealing with, especially the person coming in the door. Half of them don't understand half the stuff that they're reading. And that's unfortunate. In fact, I suggested just recently to say some of the things that should happen.
All meetings with newcomers, get one of those little
white books. Be able to understand that white book initially is getting started. Simple enough to understand without a whole lot of time.
What do you think of some of the literature that's been published since the basic text, like It Works How and Why? And
it's okay. It's the same. I don't want to say it too much too soon, but it's not bad. It's good, literature, but it takes a little time and study to work with.
Well, no, I mean, I understand what you're talking about. Because well, when I came in, all there was a basic text. And I was 6 years clean when they came out with the How and Why. And at that point in time, it was very appropriate. But I would not have been able to understand, for me, the How and Why my first year clean. It's like you said, the basic text is, it's just very appropriate for somebody who's new.
It's just kind of get your foot in the door, so to
speak. Yeah. Yeah, I did that with the stories in the back. I mean,
we always thought of it that, you know, that would give you something to work on, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just honed in on those.
To critique.
Right.
To critique in your grid, in your going through the literature, you know.
That's it.
What was fascinating about the home group that I got clean in is kind of a small group in Kingston, Rhode Island, not a lot of, clean time. We were a basic text study format, and we read every single thing in the basic text except for the traditions.
How about that?
Because none of us knew what the hell it meant.
Well, that's part of it, who you going to ask?
Right.
I mean, we read everything. We get to that chat, we skip it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It was...
Couldn't even dialogue about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, this stuff doesn't... Why is it in here? Yeah.
No, the other part of that, you're talking about now, the basic thing, you're talking about the literature that we had, you know, very little, a couple of pamphlets. Still, most of the people that have a basic text have not read completely through one page from front to rear of the basic text. The old baby said, next time you have a book study or somebody going to study, look at the sort of questions that they ask, and you know that they didn't read basic text from the beginning. I mean, from about 5 to 6 pages in, which most of them forget to get to. The table of contents is there to the list of it. That's where they start.
Bob, Chris just created a basic text study guide where he went through every chapter and would ask questions on particular paragraphs and stuff like that. And I think it was basically created for pretty much your bloodline, wasn't it?
Yeah, we started with our sponsor bloodline, and, starts off with our symbol and goes through more will be revealed. And
well, I'm talking about, a lot of people don't know what symbol means.
And it starts off with, what is the key to our symbol? You know, just, it turns the content into questions so that you read it, you find the answer, and you anchor that with what you've read. And it's a great learning process.
We come up with methods in order to accomplish it. You know?
Yeah.
But initially, a person just walking through the door, you know, like dumbfounded by it. Can't invent.
Well, it's something that
points of freedom, basic, you know, bad nature.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I just
want to
quit
hurting. Well, it's so helpful, though. I mean, the universal program, large enough to encompass all, you know, forms of recovery or whatever. And so it's great. Who was your first sponsor?
Jimmy.
And how did you guys work steps?
Yeah,
that was a good question.
Sitting in his old Chevy, not Chevy, my station wagon, and we talk about a little everything. You know?
I hear you.
It doesn't look at the steps, you know, no more, just on you. Mm-hmm. That was the step. Mm-hmm. The rest of it was just more personalized than anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how did you work the fourth step?
You just told me to write
it. You just had to write.
What did he tell you to write about?
Whatever was going on, that's what he told me to write. Whatever's going on. Any problem you might have, anything you might be going on that you might want to talk about. There was no particular direct thing for that. And we did use thing in the big book, you know, they have lined out things. Use that kind of
report. Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You got it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was simple enough. Mm-hmm.
How long did Jimmy go to both AA and NA?
Up to then, to he died.
I hear you.
Yeah, there's a copy of the big book that's online right now on eBay that was given to Jimmy by somebody in AA, and Jimmy signed it, but it was given to him. It's like a second edition on his 30th anniversary. So
that, I don't know if that's the last time. It might have been the last
time. No, there's a second edition that's on an NA text that's online right now that you signed. You and Vito and somebody else.
Nice.
So it's for sale. So they're making money off of you, Bob.
That's okay. I need to make some money or doing something.
I hear you.
Well, can you tell us about Sylvia W?
I was just going to ask him that.
Which Sylvia? You got two Sylvia.
Wexler.
Blue Sylvia. Well, she got out of the penitentiary. She got to be one of these. Let's do things, you know, kind of hard nose.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
I heard that she's been asked not to go to some meetings. Is there a truth to
that? Are you talking about Wexler or are you talking about Woodward?
This may be the other Sylvia, I'm guessing.
Big Sylvia and Little Sylvia. Okay. Little Sylvia is the one I think you're talking about.
Yeah.
Little Sylvia is the one that came out of the penitentiary. Alderson or something.
She helped with
that. I just thought it was very tragic that somebody who was, you know, I think it's important to pay homage and respect to the people that have stayed and stuck. And my heart ached when I heard that.
I think you're talking about Big Sylvia.
Okay.
Sylvia Magdalene. Big Sylvia, she's still up in the Oakland, San Francisco area.
Okay.
And is Sylvia Wexler, she passed away?
Yeah, Sylvia Wexler passed away sometime in the month.
Was her story in the basic text?
No. Neither one of them.
Did she help write some of, Sylvia Wexler help write some of the...
No.
Who is the woman, Penny?
Penny from Mumbling came out of the penitentiary. They used to help Jimmy around doing things, writing letters, picking up people,
And what about a fawn?
Fawn was Johnny come lately. Oh, best I can call it, is Johnny come lately. That that knew more than she did. That was part of that thing we're talking about, dividing up the people that we, you know, we're gonna work with these people and work with those.
She was one of the working for the other people. She was working with Jimmy's crowd.
Interesting. How was your relationship with Betty?
I guess we tolerated each other. It's the best way to explain it.
That's honest.
She seemed what I've read, or very bitter and hurt over perceived treatment of Jimmy.
Well, the perceived treatment is more perceived than anything. You know, there's still part of that crowd that felt that you weren't loyal to the cause. I guess everybody couldn't be going the same way, because they weren't. Because different ideas of how to get there.
Lots of growing pains.
Yeah, they said it's unfortunate in some ways. The stories that were put out were not the stories that of truth of what was really happening.
Right.
And that's what's unfortunate.
Right.
Yeah, you see a lot of rumor. I think it's what it is these days, Bob. I've seen some on the internet. I don't really pay attention to it, but reading Bob Stone's book is probably the more factual.
Probably more exacting.
I tried to find Jimmy's obituary online and was not able to. In the Los Angeles Times archives, couldn't find that he had one. You know anything about that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, Jimmy's daughters and things, they're around.
Yeah.
They're writing a book on him about him.
Right.
That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear.
She's got it pretty much finished.
Yeah, she said that she sent it to Hazelden.
Well, she was trying to find somebody
to publish it, right.
Not, she said she had it. We'll publish it herself. She had very little history in terms of what NAE is. I know it's fortunate and unfortunate. The children did not get involved with Papa or Mama's whatever affairs. So they're aware of, some of the inner workings of the things that happened in the family, and see what they were happening. They've learned a lot since they grew up that way.
When did they seem to become interested in this and kind of reconnect or connect for the first time with NA?
Yes. Within the last 10 years. See, I don't know if they got anything about Jimmy Jr. See, he's still alive. He's not involved in dynamics.
It's not very close to the sisters, or
no. I think they're kind of estranged, so they don't hardly talk to anyone. Probably call the family still alive or something. But I have heard this side of the story, so to speak. Very little known about their interaction. They know they talk to each other, they wrote each other.
Did you know Jimmy's first wife?
Yeah.
How did they support themselves during that time? I mean,
Jimmy's wife used to make Metropolitan School uniforms for the girl going to Kansas. That was her sewing room back in the back of the room that they used. Jimmy turned it into a little office. Yeah, made those uniforms. Plus, Jimmy was, roof repair, painter, variety, those types of things. And one of the things, Jim DeBasti, one time, he fell off a roof. So he was out of so it's the same thing, you know, out of the circle that way.
Yeah, that'll put a damper in here. We get not going to work in the morning.
Yeah, there was not a great harmonious thing going on. There wasn't that many people that especially when his wife was alive. Go down, get some literature, some pamphlets or something. Not a whole lot else. Spend a little time with them, use the case of them, let's go right where we're at.
What can you tell us about Pepe? Did he come in around the time you did, or?
Egg?
Is he the vicious cycle?
Might be. Might be. He's in there.
But he's becoming more now?
Yeah, he is.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, he started that. He had a half a horse. And he was using people, you know, going to. He was a gardener for one. So he got a lot of gardeners. He worked for the VA hospital for food abroad. Looted Oregon, he definitely got the same thing. He had some troubles up there. Like we sometimes do, we get into trouble.
Yep, been known to.
trying to put this together, did somebody have a barber shop or was a barber?
Yeah, Bill.
Bill Beck?
Yeah. Bill. The only way you can get a barber shop up. Saturday about a year ago.
I remember hearing that. And he, I think his story was Fat Addict.
Yeah.
Do you know most of the people who wrote the stories?
Yeah, most of them. I'm trying to think. I was sponsored by four of them. Really, four of them.
Yeah, Chris is trying to do a research project of trying to find the names of the people who wrote the story.
What? I was trying to say, do you have a green copy, a green book? Other person you can contact is Chris Keeley.
Chris Keeley? Is he the guy that did... the book Addicts Out of Darkness.
Yeah.
Is he in the fellowship?
He's in DC.
That's the guy I was telling you about.
Yeah, that's the guy you met on the plane.
Chris Keeler, met him.
Amy was telling us about him this morning.
Met him on the way out to the world in San Antonio. We were both had connecting flights to Dallas. I saw the skywalk up. We were waiting for the flight to San Antonio. sat there and half, you know, ruined with the NA. I said, hey, how you doing? Going to the world? And that's how I met Chris.
Is his story in there?
No.
But is
he's not been around as long as most of the people know. For how long has Chris been? 25 years?
As long as that. Back when he wrote the book.
Around that long. 1980
is when the book was written. Yeah, it was
done.
Okay.
You know, that DC connection.
Mm-hmm.
With Doreen.
And yeah. See, I see names, hear names, and hear old talks and stuff, and then I like trying to connect that with, you know, the literature. And I have emailed with Bo a couple times, and he gave me a couple names. Did you say his story's in there? Because he didn't mention that I'd have to email him again and see what he has to say. I feel like there's a lot of important history that needs to be captured.
Yeah, well, that's it. It has a lot about, you know, I don't know how you explain it, say time and energy flows with it. Sometimes it gets expensive.
I'm sure
that
could. And, you know, one of my interests or passions, being a woman, of course, is we hear so much about the history and the medical fellowship, but about the women. I want to hear about the history of some of the women from early in the days of Narcotics Anonymous.
A lot of interesting things happened.
I'm sure.
I was just telling somebody, they said, we have some understories.
Yeah.
Some understories.
Uh-huh. I'm sure.
And all the case of it said, when are you going to tell them? I said, maybe after this.
Yeah.
You're right.
Exactly.
Some of them, most of them are dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of them left.
Mm-hmm. You and Vito are getting, have y'all got the most time continuous time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need to tell you this. I just want to say thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for doing all the service work that you've done over the years, because you've helped create an organization that truly saved my life. And I need to just tell you that it's, I appreciate it.
I understand,
because I mean, I was a part of our fellowship when it was new in my area, so I'm like an old timer there now, but all I was doing was trying to keep myself clean, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we just did what was right in front of us, but it's become a lot more important for me later, you know, just now, just to thank the people that came and kept the doors open for me. Because it really is. It's really important.
Well, it's those things, but as you say, stories behind stories.
Yeah.
Right.
Understood.
Side stories. That have some significance in many ways. There's a woman that she takes up our
spawn. Yeah, I hear you.
living up in Oregon. But she remember, you know, a lot of the early guys.
Okay. I'll write that name down.
So we talked quite a few.
Gotta run to the restroom, guys. Okay. We'll be right back.
Is it okay if I have your phone number?
Yeah.
You don't have it?
I don't have it. I added it. Hey, I had it at one point when I got the Bob Stone book from you, and then when I went to call you again, it had changed or I'd lost it.
It just changed in the last week, a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
It must have been that you was looking for it during the last 2 or 3 weeks.
No, I mean, I probably just took it down wrong because I think it was probably 2002 when I got the Bob Stone book from you. And I'm not even sure how I got connected with you.
So you had to go to the World Service Office. If they wouldn't give you the number, they would give you a number.
How about that?
That's how they work.
What's your number now?
Oh, my number now is 310. 11,
and what's your address?
23. 26, 20.
I don't know what my address is.
I hear you.
Your license there.
Where is it?
There you go. There you go.
I don't have a chance at work. 2622.
Character.
I-T-O-A
Los Angeles 90034. I'd love to help put together your story or
Pam Sullivan. Okay. I just thought it would be interesting to find some of the other women and gather some history of the women.
Sally Evans.
And where is she?
She's out living on 29 Palms.
Where?
29 Palms.
Right in Hopkins, out here from Switzerland.
Okay. And of course, Sylvia.
Yeah, big Sylvia.
When did she get clean?
62.
What's her last
name? Thank you.
Our last initial?
Magdalena, that's our identifier.
Magdalena.
Of all the brothers and everybody was in there.
Uh-huh.
Rick's still alive. Rick was. Yeah. He's still alive.
Four table
six, Bob. Definitely, yeah, I want to get one a little bit closer there.
Okay.
Hey, Vaughn, what caption are we going to put on that?
Yeah, what's your contemplation?
That's it.
I hear you.
These are two deep thinkers right here. Yes, that's
what
it.
What makes you laugh?
Our foolishness is what makes
me laugh. That's the truth, isn't it? Our foolishness makes me laugh, too. No doubt about it.
I was trying to put a couple of the names there. There's a Miss Mary Hedberg.
Thank you, Chris, for writing that down.
She's in Arizona now.
Arizona, okay.
Who?
Doreen, up in Washington.
Worst things that didn't happen.
there ever such a turbulent time that was in our fellowship that you wondered whether this thing was really going to happen at all?
Anything.
Hey, I hear you. That's precious.
I hear you. Yeah. Well, it seems as though around the writing of the basic text and publication of the basic text, a lot of stress.
Yeah, well, you know, you see, it's got two poles inside, pulling against each other.
Yeah. So you looking forward to getting home?
Not particularly.
Not particularly?
No.
You had a good time?
Hey, I'm not looking forward to what I got to do when I get home. That's what
I'm doing. Oh, I see.
Got a lot going on.
Yeah, in a way, yeah, a lot going on. A lot of turmoil going on. Mine. I'd rather be working on your turmoil.
Right.
Mine.
Yeah, I hear you. Funny how that works.
Is there anything we can do to help you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to do a lot of, you say, much of it alone. Not alone. A lot of things I don't want to do, let me put it that way.
A road you have to walk down.
Yeah, road I must walk down.
Yeah. But you never have to do it alone.
Not alone.
Well, I'll add you to my prayer list.
Hey, good. I can have all of them. I need a bunch of those. Most of all, I got to learn how to do it for myself, too.
How's your belief in a higher power changed since you've been clean?
Tremendous. It became more real as you grow and as things have life happen, it probably grows.
How would you describe your belief when you came in to Narcotics Anonymous? Atheist, agnostic, just
give or take. Don't but me. I had one of the sponsors that I had. He claimed he was atheist too. Sounds good to me. All he told me is say, don't close the door on him.
Right.
But leave the door.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you clean when you started to feel like you were developing a belief?
Probably 3 months. 4 months.
There you go.
She broke
her other glasses.
I'll call her back.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Just wanted to find out if it's...
Is that one I really need to take right now? I'm going to call back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Guys, y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
So, if you ever think of anything that we can do to help you, just...
I think Chris is the man of paper.
You didn't give me the real connection there.
Got a business card? Of course you do.
You got cards and everything.
Tell me that.
Thank you.
Yeah, one of my other pursuits is I don't talk too much about this. I started a halfway house 30 some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going.
Is it?
Right.
What's the name of the house?
30 some years after I go to work.
It's called Impact?
Yeah.
I believe that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is in Bobsville because it was originally called.
No, it wasn't originally. It was Impact. It's always been.
Always been Impact. Okay.
We had three other different ones.
Oh, okay. Because the way I had interpreted it was that they kind of evolved all into Impact. But no,
it is separate. Uh-huh. Fact is, Cry Help is another one of the places came out that same thing.
That was the one I was going to say. Was Cry Help?
Cry Help.
Do you know Clancy?
Clancy is Wilson?
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah. Doesn't he run a program out there?
Not that I know of.
In Los Angeles?
No. He was in charge of the mission.
Okay, it was the mission. Yeah. Like a homeless shelter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you still work with Impact Law?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. That's one of your other endeavors, you said.
My endeavors.
Yeah. Enterprises.
Not very enterprising, because I didn't make it a penny.
Help save some lives.
A lot of lives.
Yeah. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. It is.
Please, by all means, please move.
And you is it a non-profit?
Mm-hmm.
And you have board of directors and stuff?
Yeah.
And so you were mentioning the one woman who started doing some writing?
Yeah, one of our school teachers, Garcia.
Do you go up to the World Service office much?
Not much. I'm not much. I used to. I don't want to take a business up there unless I'm going to scrounge something.
To scrounge something?
Yeah.
How do they treat you when you go there?
I don't have a problem. I kind of like to go all through the place.
It's office. Your home.
I got it.
You know people there, don't you?
I know people there.
I hear
Yeah, everybody there is on the program most of them. We interact on a regular basis. So, not a good relationship. Don't tell them how to run their business.
They don't say it, tell them how to run yours, do they?
I don't tell them how to run mine.
Everybody's happy.
Maybe they would like that they could intervene. That's okay. Okay, I don't know what the time schedule is. This is 1:10.
And the flight's at 2:30. Did we already check in at the gate?
Checked in.
He's got
his ticket, but he's got to go through
security.
Security.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He probably still got about another 15 minutes or so.
Hey, got these little putt-putts gone.